I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing you with a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. Today's Wednesday. Next hour, we will move on to one of my favorite segments of the week, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. How are your New Year's resolutions holding up? What is today, the 6th, the 5th, the 6th? Most people have bailed on several of them now. Look, you need to give yourself a break. Dates are very, very arbitrary. It doesn't matter. I am actually about 38 hours into my beginning of the year fast that I do every year. I didn't start it on the first. Why? Because I knew I wanted to watch some football and eat some snacks and enjoy my weekend. So I did that. And then I just picked up with it a couple of days ago. So it's always time to do it. But we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of ways to kind of kickstart your year. If you want to change your health, there are some ways to do it. I'll tell you what my plan is for this year. If you want to manage your weight, and I saw a story last night on the local news that really called to my attention this idea of the consequence of being morbidly obese. We have a serious problem with that in Mississippi, so it'll be a little bit of tough love next hour. And my quotes of the day today, first one is from Aristotle. This is it's so funny, you know. You look across the landscape now and you see how crazy things are. I understand very little about what is driving human beings, particularly in the political world right now. And I find myself wondering, has it always been this way? You know, have human beings, something happened to us? It does feel like we've gotten a whole lot dumber. But maybe not. This is Aristotle. He said, the price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. The price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men, and this is the price we're seeing right now. We are about to pay the price for decades upon decades of thinking that all we needed to do was just show up every 4 years, every 2 years, every 6 years, cast a vote, and then not hold anybody's feet to the fire, just let them do whatever they want to, and then go back and just pull the lever for whatever party we belong to. We have not paid attention. We have not held anybody accountable, and you are now seeing the wheels come off the truck. Hopefully it will be saved. I get more pessimistic every day, up to and including this morning when I woke up to find out that maybe both Democrats have won Georgia. We'll talk about that in a little bit. On that point, John Whitehead. This is a long. It's from a piece John Whitehead did. He's kind of a radical like myself. Doesn't play the two-party game. He had a great article out yesterday. I'd read the whole thing if it wasn't boring for radio, but I'm going to read a little chunk of it here. This is John Whitehead, and my quotes of the day today. He said, frankly, I'm sick of it. The hypocrisy, the doubled standards, the delusional belief by Americans at every point along the political spectrum that politics and politicians are the answer to what ails the country, when for most of our nation's history, politics and politicians have been the cause of our woes. Consider. For years now, Americans, with sheep-like placidity, have tolerated all manner of injustices and abuses meted out upon them by the government. This includes police shootings of unarmed individuals, brutality, corruption, graft, outright theft, occupations and invasions of their homes by militarized police, roadside strip searches, profit-driven incarcerations, profit-driven wars, egregious surveillance, taxation without any real representation, a nanny state that dictates every aspect of their lives, lockdowns, overcriminalization, etc., without ever saying enough is enough. John Whitehead goes on to say, only now do Americans seem righteously indignant enough to mobilize and get active. And for what purpose? Politics. They're ready to go to the mat over which corporate puppet will get the honor to serve as the smiling face on the pig for the next 4 years. Politics is not the solution. We're about to see the problem. I'm very disappointed that the Republicans potentially lost, at least one of them. It looks like Kelly Loeffler lost, and that jackass Rudy Warnock, or Raphael Warnock, excuse me, won. So we'll see. But the bottom line is that politics is not going to save us. There is no savior. There is going to be no top-down structural change to this country. You want to change things, start from the bottom up. And we should be all saying collectively, enough is enough. And my last quote of the day today is from Sven Hendrick. He's an investment guy that got a great sense of humor, does some stuff, and it's going to lead me into another piece I ran across when it gets to kind of economics these days. Sven Hendrick wrote, he sent out a tweet, first we stole your savings income, then we transferred all your wealth to the top 1%, and now we'll finish off the bottom 50% with inflation we'll refuse to measure. We are from the Federal Reserve, and we are here to help. And I've got a very interesting, an interesting thought experiment for people out there, particularly in light of everybody clamoring for their $2,000 checks. Print up that money and send me my $2,000 check. And there's something you probably haven't thought about, but I'll explain that in a second. I ran across a piece by Jeremy Grantham. He is a very well-respected, very sane, old-school investment guy, very highly regarded, and he had a piece that came out yesterday talking about the stock market the way it is right now. And I'm going to read from it. The long, long bull market since 2009 has finally matured into a fully-fledged epic bubble. And keep in mind, this is a very kind of stoic, calm guy. This is not Jim Cramer on CNBC. This investor is he's one of these more contemplative guys, very quiet, serious investor. He goes on, featuring extreme overvaluation, explosive price increases, frenzied issuance, and hysterically speculative investor behavior. I believe this event will be recorded as one of the great bubbles of financial history, right along with the South Sea Bubble, 1929 and 2000. So this bubble will burst in due time, no matter how hard the Fed tries to support it, with consequent damage effects on the economy and on portfolios. Make no mistake, for the majority of investors today, this could very well be the most important event of your investing lives. He also says the single most dependable feature of the late stages of the greatest bubbles of history has been really crazy investor behavior, especially on the part of individuals. For the first 10 years of this bull market, which is the longest in history, we lacked such a wild speculation, but now we have it. I want you to listen to these numbers he comes up with in a second. Just think about the insanity of this. My colleagues Ben and I, in their quarterly letter, they started naming some of these incredible speculation in some of these stocks, including Hertz, Kodak, Nikola, and especially Tesla. Now listen to these numbers on Tesla. And again, I cheer innovation. I wish Elon Musk all the best. I wish he hadn't made a bunch of his money on taxpayer dollars. But if an electric car is a good quality product that people want, as a free market capitalist, I say, God go with it. But that's not really been the case. As a Model 3 owner, this is what Jeremy Grantham says, my personal favorite Tesla tidbit is that its market cap, now over $600 billion, amounts to over $1.25 million per car sold each year versus, guess what GM's market cap is per car sold? Again, Tesla's market cap, that is the value of the stock, all of the stock in Tesla, the value of it reflects $1.25 million for every car sold, with General Motors, been around for forever, one of the largest car companies in the world. They get $9,000 per car for GM. He goes on to say, what has 1929 got equal to that? Any of these tidbits could perhaps be dismissed as isolated cases, but trust me, they are not. But big picture metrics look even worse. And he ends with saying, this game surely is the ultimate deal with the devil. This is one of your more accomplished, more conservative, not outrageous, not hyperventilating stock analyst. This is a guy who's been investing for his entire adult life as an older guy. And he's saying, we are seeing something now. And again, as he said, this could very well be the most important event of your investing lives. We are in the big, fat, ugly bubble, to quote Donald Trump back in 2016 before he started cheering for this big, fat, ugly bubble. And then here's this little nugget, too, and I'll wrap up my financial portion here. The U.S. dollar has come under some pressure. A story today out says the U.S. dollar got hit hard in 2020, declining nearly 7% year over year and as much as 12% from its peak to its trough during the year. So the dollar lost 7% of its value just in 2020 alone. Here's what's kind of funny about that. The reason the dollar's under such pressure, now the reason the dollar's even held up for as long as it has, is because every government across the globe has gone completely bonkers with money printing. The Central Bank of Europe, the Central Bank of Japan, the Central Bank in China, everybody's just flooding all that. So it's a race to the bottom. It is who gets to the toilet last. But with us running up, I think right now we've got a $4.5 trillion deficit somewhere along those lines for 2020. $4.5 trillion in 1 year. Not to mention the other trillions of dollars that the Fed has produced in this past year. I think we flooded into the economy somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $7 to $8 trillion in 2020 alone. That is affecting the value of the dollar. So here's what's almost funny if it wasn't such a glaring sign that Americans are completely economically illiterate. While you cheer on the $2,000 government checks, give me my check. We want the big checks. The purchasing power on your entire salary is declining. Now, these are not dollar for dollar, percent for percent when the dollar devalues. It makes your imported prices are going to go up. And it doesn't happen immediately. A lot of things are already bought at prices long ago. But ultimately, what you have to understand is when the value of the dollar goes down, it makes your cost of living go up. You've heard of the thing called inflation, right? The federal government tries to tell us, oh, there is no inflation. But if you've bought health insurance, paid a traffic ticket, sent a kid to college, bought steak, you understand inflation is real. They've got all kinds of magic formulas to make inflation disappear. But as the dollar has lost 7% of its value, that will trickle down to all of us and we will lose that 7% of our purchasing power. So, if you are one of these people making $60,000, excited about wanting a $2,000 check, as of right now, you're only getting a $600 check, which makes this an even sadder comparison. But let's just say everybody wants Trump's $2,000, Nancy Pelosi's $2,000. You think that's a big windfall, but the cost of printing the money to give you the $2,000 is making the dollar slide. So if you lose 7% of your purchasing power, you actually lose on a $60,000 salary, you lose $4,200. So during the course of 2020, they're going to send you, what, $1,800? We had the first $1,200 stimulus check, then the $600 stimulus check. And there's going to be a third. Don't worry, you're going to get some more. So right now you've netted, if you make under the income limitations, you've netted $1,800 check. The problem is your entire $60,000 salary has lost $4,200 in purchasing power. And if you're a couple, each making $60,120 is a couple, you've lost almost $8,500 in purchasing power as the dollar slides. But you got $3,600 in cash. And that's where we are. Endless money printing will ultimately destroy the value of the dollar. Everybody thinks, well, if I just go ahead and get mine now, And again, this goes to the economic illiteracy of the American people, Republicans and Democrats, everybody cheering for more government stimulus. Will they shut us down? What are we supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to, number one, grow a set and not let them shut you down. And number two, not think that endless money printing is a solution to the problem. Just because a bunch of politicians stand up in front of you and try to pat themselves on the back for handing you out newly printed money that is destroying the value of our currency. It's disgusting to watch, but almost funny in the perverse outcome that this thing is going to produce. But on the good side, I don't want to be all negative Nelly. Team USA, the junior hockey team, won the national or the world championships yesterday, which really was cool. It's kind of neat to see it. They beat Canada to become number one. So at least we may be destroying our economy. We may be going full on socialism. We may be breaking apart as a society, but at least we're still great at sports ball or puck.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good, no bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
So today is the Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C. I think Trump is set to speak to them and in Congress today. Ted Cruz, I will give him credit. He's got a good plan. He's not going to pull it off. It's not going to happen. But, you know, 10-day election commission. Why would anybody have a problem with it? I mean, it's very easy to see the game that's being played here. I was disappointed. It's funny. I've got my notes. Let me read to you from my notes that I made yesterday, last evening. I don't know what time it was, 7, 8 o'clock, something like that. So I've got a note here. It says, so the GOP thankfully have kept the Senate. Silly me. Silly me. What was I thinking? I was looking at the returns. I really thought, I mean, I looked at those Democratic. There's just obviously no sense to this thing at all. Look, this is the libertarian teachable moment here. The things libertarians have been preaching for a long time is that Washington, D.C. has too much power. And that is actually the reason that you're upset that the Senate could, you know, end up in a tie with Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker. It's not the makeup of the Senate really doesn't matter if it doesn't have anything to do with your life. But what you've sat back and allowed for the last 30, 40, 50 years, I'm looking at you, baby boomers. I'm looking at my compatriots in Generation X and you, the greatest generation. I got to tell you, you got a stake to play in this too. But it is the power that you've given Washington, D.C. over a while playing your red and blue games. As long as your team was in charge, you loved it when they got stuff done. You loved executive orders. You loved Medicare Part D. You loved all of these things passed by when your party was in charge. And now you're terrified, aren't you? And the libertarian argument is, get the power out of Washington, D.C. so it doesn't matter. Wouldn't it be nice to not care what was going on in Washington, D.C.? But, oh, no, they've convinced you to join the team. It's a big team sport. Everybody get out there and fight for your side. And this is the result of that. Constant agitation. Half of the country. When I was looking at the vote totals from Georgia yesterday, and I was seeing that they were so neck and neck, I just thought, wow. The people that have been running this scam on the American people are geniuses. Look how divided they have us. Neck and neck on everything, right? Even Trump, Biden. If the Democrats stole this thing, they didn't make it 60-40. They got to keep it within a couple of points. They have got the perfect equilibrium. And you really have to have that, right? You don't want 70-30 because, you know, then the 70% not really worried about the 30% and people can kind of get along. Now they've got us right where they want us at that 50-50. So we're this force that holds up the, you know what I mean? Like if you take two pieces of wood and put them at an angle towards each other at the top and they hold each other up. Neither one of them falls. They both hold each other up by the constant tension at the point. It's just absolutely genius system. Now, this would be more difficult if there were 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 political parties, but they've got us corralled into the two to keep us right there. Right at that point where we're perfectly divided in this country. Absolute genius. And then also with that perfect or near perfect division in 50-50, it only takes a little cheating to tip things one way or another. So they got to keep it there. I mean, I keep asking the question, look, I'm going to talk in a second about why I'm not as hard on Democrats on this show, because I don't talk to Democrats. I mean, there are some of you out there, but I try to wake you up. Barack Obama was a con man. Joe Biden's a con man. Kamala Harris is a con woman. A con person. Is that better? Amen. A woman. That's going in my... this week on the crazy train, the prayer ended in Congress with amen and a woman. Oh, my God. But what have the Republicans been doing all of this time to not see this? And I was talking with somebody here at the station earlier about mail-in ballots. I don't know how you put this cat back in the bag. I have no earthly idea what we're even staring at going forward, but we're in some deep, deep trouble. But it is this red team versus blue team thing that has gotten us right where we are. And it is the allowance by everybody, the enthusiasm with which you liked when Thad Cochran was running the Appropriations Committee because it bestowed such power on Mississippi. I don't know if you've looked around. Mississippi, still not at the top of the heap, are we? I'm not really sure what having Thad Cochran in Washington, D.C. for 160 years did for us. But you were told by the Republican Party here you had to keep voting him in. You didn't want any primary challengers. Had to keep voting him in. And he had all this power in Washington, D.C. Yeah, he had the power to write checks to or, you know, divvy up money to foreign countries, to all kinds of harebrained schemes, to special interests. He was great as the appropriations, but the Republican Party told you, oh, you got to keep him there because he's so powerful. Now, I'm not suggesting that you would have gone with a Democrat in place of him, but the libertarian argument is, oh, that power is just great. How do you like it, though, when it switches hands? Quit giving these people so much power. None of us would be as worried today about a fully Democrat-run government, as nutso as they've gone, if they didn't have any power in our lives. But we've allowed it because occasionally our team gets the power, and we want to make sure that they exercise it while they're there. And then they leave and they hand all of that power off to the next party and they exercise it while they're there. And we complain about it then. But then when our team gets power, we say, oh, well, we've got the power back again. Sign the executive orders. Get things done. And meanwhile, with the Republicans who I knock, look, I've never cheered harder for the Republican Party than I did last night. I can't believe that they did not maintain the Senate. I guess maybe there's still a possibility. I don't know if they've called the race with David Perdue. Hopefully they pull a rabbit out of that hat. But this is the situation that has been coming for years and years, and people criticize me for not being a team player, not being loyal to people. I'll explain that to you in just a second, but this is the result, and we're all now terrified. I'll also talk about the rallies up in D.C. I actually have a headline here, too. I'm kind of giving you away my show notes here. I have a title to what I'm going to get to in a second where it said, "Holy crap!" I found a story that I just found completely outrageous when it has to do with the rallies that are going on in Washington, D.C. I'll be right back. We'll talk about it.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. This was the shocking headline. As people are gathering in Washington, D.C. for the Stop the Steal protest, today's the day they're going to certify the electoral votes. Mike Pence, the pressure is on him. Woo! He is about to be persona non grata. I've been telling you Pence was an establishment guy from the day he was announced as Trump's running mate. I never understood it. But he's going to certify these votes. I can't imagine him doing anything else. Maybe I'm surprised. And he does something radical here. But in the anticipation of people coming to Washington, D.C., Trump supporders coming to Washington, D.C., Apple Maps, this was out yesterday, Apple Maps is currently blocking directions into Washington, D.C. ahead of anticipated mass protests coinciding with Tuesday's counting of Electoral College votes. The company has blamed current road conditions. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They just blank out the maps. I mean, talk about living in just Orwellian times. These big tech companies. Again, though, look, I say that as I sit right here next to my iPhone. This is a pretty despicable thing to do. It's so unnecessary. Although I will say, if a lot of the supporters that are going to support Donald Trump are heading to Washington, D.C. and they can't get anything on their phones, I don't think you can buy a map in a store. Can you still buy a map in a store anymore? And if you can, how many people under 30 years old know how to read a map? I actually think I went looking for a map at one point. I can't remember what it was. I was looking for a map to be able to keep track of some things going on around the state. It was difficult to find a map in just a gas station. I mean, the poor map makers. You know, maybe we should have bailed out the map makers. Maybe the federal government. I mean, how many jobs were lost in the American map-making sector when things started going online and we started with GPS? We should have saved the map, but we should immediately have guaranteed income to keep the map printing industry in business. Because that's what we do now, right? The airlines just got $25 billion, a total of, I think, $43 billion over the course of 2020 to keep a bunch of airline employees, even when there's nobody flying or hasn't been. So I don't see why the poor map makers had to go out of business. I mean, if we had the government right now, the government we have right now, if we'd had it back in the 19-teens, 1920s, we would still be subsidizing the horse and buggy industry. You know, we don't want to lose the jobs. A lot of people out there making buggy whips. Well, what, are we just going to put them out? Through no fault of their own, the car appeared. I love this phrase. Through no fault of their own. They say that a lot about COVID. This was the Chinese virus. These people got hurt by no fault of their own. Well, how many people in mass layoff situations are really the reason that they got laid off? Or when an industry dies, how many travel agents, was it their fault that the internet blossomed and online travel accommodations became available? Anyway, it's kind of a side rant. But I couldn't believe that Apple Maps actually took off directions into Washington, D.C. But I have a sneaking suspicion that the people that made their way to Washington, D.C., they're going to get there. Sorry, Apple. They'll find their way in. I was looking to see, I don't know, there's a bunch of teachable moments and everything that's going on right now. I guess I try to get them in because you've got one chance during the course of a day in central Mississippi to hear any libertarian take on anything. Because I'm it. I'm it. And it may not be just Mississippi. I don't know. It may be the Southeast. This is where you can find some libertarian concepts you haven't ever heard before. Here's another one. I was looking at Gateway Pundit to get some idea of what's going on with the protests. I do not rely on Gateway Pundit for news. It is entirely slanted one way. I'll look at it. I looked at Breitbart yesterday, and they were talking about the V-shaped recovery. The V recovery. We got 20 million people on unemployment. We got hundreds of thousands of small businesses going under. Breitbart's running a V-shaped recovery because some manufacturing numbers came in good. And I actually saw a financial analyst pick apart those manufacturing numbers. But, you know, I'm kind of immune to propaganda at this point. But on Gateway Pundit right now, there's just an interesting story. I haven't even clicked on the story, but the headline is pro-Trump Marine goes off on D.C. police after they mace Stop the Steal protesters. Quote, we had your blanking back, but we ain't got your back no more. Well, this is another thing that I think a lot of people, particularly conservatives, have really loved this militarization of the police. You love them getting more and more power. You love the fact that they can bust people for this or that for so many years. And now you're seeing all this police power being used against us. They went out into the ocean in Los Angeles and arrested a paddleboarder back at the beginning of this whole insanity. And you can say, well, that's out in lunatic left California. Well, what was that out? Was it Winona? Where was it that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago? Aberdeen, somewhere in Mississippi where they were going to steal your car. Well, they call it confiscate. The police said they were going to take your car if you gave them any lip when they gave you a citation for not wearing a mask. Another warning from libertarians, which is do not empower the police state constantly. And it is largely grown up around the reason police have gotten so intrusive in our lives in many ways is the war on drugs has allowed them to just view every person that walks down the street as a suspect of doing something wrong. Well, now this Marine and many people during 2020 have realized that the police are not necessarily your friends when push comes to shove. That's because we've created this bureaucracy. I'm not saying police don't do great things. My experience with police for most of my life has been extremely good. They've actually over-responded to some concerns I had one time when some of my stuff had been vandalized. They took great care of me. I'm just saying that the structure of this law and order, which is every law that a politician passes is good, so the cops are just out doing their jobs, enforcing seatbelt laws or rolling through a stop sign when nobody else is on the road, these kinds of things. I was looking at the number, something like 6,400 citations were issued over the New Year's weekend. Well, that's a lot of revenue. Well, some of them might have been justified, and some of them might have been just absolutely nut bar little picky things that essentially just pluck money out of people's pockets, but anyway, like I say, another teachable moment. I don't do as much stuff on this show about taking down the left and as most shows do. First of all, it is because I don't have a whole lot to add to every other conservative commentator that does a great job pointing out the absolute insanity on the left, the hypocrisy that is just stunning. And I don't want to do the same show that everybody else does. I mean, Sean Hannity is a lopsided mental midget, but he does 3 to 4 hours a day dismantling the Democrats, so I don't feel the need to repeat it. And last night I was kind of reinforced in that belief when I watched Tucker Carlson, and there's just no way I can compete with him. I would play this segment if it wasn't too long today. As Tucker Carlson took down these two Democrats who may be ascending to the Senate of the United States in Georgia. He had a fantastic, great opening segment last night. Now, just remember, not only is Tucker very good and he's a very smart guy, but he also has a team of writers and researchers, as most network people do. He just does it absolutely the best. So Tucker and the rest of the conservative media can lead you into battle from the front as you confront the leftist and the Democratic Party. I'm the guy who stays back in the back. You know, we're all of the politicians who send you out into the streets to fight for them, who send you to the polling places to fight for them. I stick back with them and I report back to you on what they're doing while you're out in the fight, because it's not pretty. They're sipping champagne, patting each other on the back, pretty much laughing at most people, realizing the power that they derive from sending you out into battle. It's kind of like a, you know, like an old scene from a medieval war movie where they're on two sides of a valley and the kings sit behind the troops and they say, "Charge!" And the troops just head down in the valley. You see these big crowds coming together, and then they just clash in the middle, and it's just mayhem and blood and guts and gore and death and dismemberments. While the kings sit on their horses on the top of the ridge behind, just looking to see if they're going to win or lose with all the meat puppets they sent down there. Well, I'm the guy that's back there, back behind the bush, watching the kings and the queens sitting on their thrones, sitting on their horses back behind you, just watching you all duke it out. That's my job. Tucker Carlson can dismantle the left far better than I can. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, so it's going to be a very busy news day today with them certifying or not certifying the electoral votes. I would imagine they will certify. It was a little unclear. They said if somebody objects to, you know, if Arizona comes up, Ted Cruz is going to object and somebody in the House will object, and they go for 2 hours to their separate chambers to debate that one state. I wasn't sure if it was 2 hours per state, so this certification process could go on for a long period of time. Obviously, my show's too early to cover it today. I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow. Mike Pence. A lot of people are expecting great things from him. Many people are expecting him to do nothing but just what he says the rules are. So we'll see. We'll see what Mike Pence does. And then there's the protest. But it's too early to report on those things today, so we'll certainly talk about them tomorrow. But there is one story that I cannot resist covering today, and normally I would keep it until Friday at 10 o'clock in my False Flag Friday report. But I can't resist it. Did you hear this story about the threat issued that the air traffic controllers got wind of, that a plane was going to be flown into the Capitol building today to avenge the death of General Soleimani from Iran? Now, this may have just been some nutball got a radio. Apparently, it's easy to get onto that frequency. I think that's terrible news to put out into the public that, oh, you can go and they were talking this morning on the radio, on the morning news, they said, anybody can go get a radio off of Amazon and you can get into the air traffic controller's frequency. And I thought, oh my, that's probably something we don't need to be really advertising. You can imagine the chaos that will create. I certainly didn't know that. Not that I am going to use that knowledge. But anyway, and now I've repeated it. So sorry, air traffic controllers, get ready for some garbage on your airs. But if this is not some nutbag, if this is some stoking of tensions with Iran, I implore you to think about this for just a second. Anybody who heard that and said, oh, those Iranians are starting to mess with us, they better not lay a finger on us. Because I saw some headlines yesterday where it said, you know, we've got our finger on the trigger, we're just waiting for them, we're ready, we'll get back at them if they do anything like that. this sounds exactly like the Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, gassing his own people right after Trump announced that we were going to be withdrawing from Syria. It made no sense. So think about this with the Iranian stuff. So let me get this straight. This is the story that I'm supposed to believe if this was some kind of a manipulated event. It was a pre-recorded voice, you know, one of these robot reading voices that said a plane will be flown into the Capitol on Wednesday. If they push this as some kind of a national security threat, just stop and I implore you to just use your cognitive skills for half a second here and think, okay, so let me get this straight. Iran has been in Trump's crosshairs for 4 years, but Trump has not started a military action against them except for assassinating one of their generals, which I found to be despicable. But Trump has kept Iran in their crosshairs, and he's leaving in just a couple of weeks. And when he leaves, the Iranians will probably have Joe Biden, who was part of the Iran nuclear deal in the first place, probably reapproach them with some level of a deal. Some of you are mad about that. But Iran is just within days, literally, probably, of getting a kinder, gentler administration to them in Washington, D.C., and now is when they would decide to strike, assuring that Trump would respond and basically obliterate the country? Seriously? It's would be the dumbest thing the Iranians could possibly do. And I don't know if you're familiar with the history of Persia, but they're pretty smart people over there. I'm not saying that I approve of their government. I don't approve of any governments in Iran. It's certainly not something I would want to live under, but they're not dumb. And so if this perks up as some kind of a national security threat, hopefully Trump is not duped into making some statement and coming out and saying, we will lay waste to them. Trump, actually, they were pulling the USS Nimitz out of the Middle East, and the reports are that Trump told him to turn around and go back to the Middle East. Maybe that's fake news. Maybe it's not. But I've got my eye on this confrontation with Iran. If Trump finally, after today, realizes that he's not going to be seated as the next president of the United States, there's a lot of pressure on him from his major donor, Sheldon Adelson, the George Soros of the right, to kickstart some fight with Iran. This particular story that they would attack with a couple of weeks left in the Trump presidency is ridiculous.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock every week. We take a break from a lot of things you cannot control. Apparently, we cannot control our politicians. We cannot control our elections. We cannot control Wall Street. We cannot control so many things. What you can control, that's what we focus on this hour, and that is your own health. This is a new year, right? New year, new you. So I'm going to try to poke at you a little bit, This is the time where people are kind of open to the idea of a fresh start, maybe kind of cleaning up things, getting in better shape, particularly if you haven't felt well for the past year, be it COVID or any other chronic condition. It's time to take control of your health. If not now, when? So beginning of a year, the whole new you, new year, new you thing, I'll jump on that. I'll start off every show by explaining to you, though, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not an infectious disease doctor, I'm not an immunologist, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nurse, not a therapist, not a physical therapist, I'm nothing. No certifications whatsoever to advise you on your health, so it is up to you to take any topics that I say into your own little sphere of interest and do your own research on them. I do have, though, I will continue to say, the exact same medical certifications that Bill Gates has. So I guess if he can dole out endless advice on national mainstream news, then I can at least tell you the things that interest me and that have helped me in my life. A couple little personal notes before I get started. Here's just something to tell you. I think this is lost on some people. I was helping a friend move into last week, and I took a sharp piece of metal straight to kind of the heel of my hand, just kind of a not a big gaping wound, bled just a tiny little bit, but it was kind of a more of a puncture wound. And then you have that little triangle thing in there where every time you touch it, it's sore and it hurts and all this. Now, we've always seen this. What was very interesting, it was very annoying to me because, you know, every time you put your hand in your pocket, you bump it. Every time I put it on a desk, you bump it. It's constantly just ow, 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 ow. And then a couple of days later, I realized it wasn't hurting anymore. I looked at my hand, it was gone. And it just is one of these things, I think, as simple as it is, and we all know that the body heals cuts like that all the time. People need to understand this can happen inside your body too. It's not just your skin that will repair itself. This machine we have been given is absolutely astounding. And if you will give your body the stuff it needs, it will repair the stuff on the inside too. Your blood sugar levels, your arteries, your gut, all kinds of things that have gone wrong over the years. If you will give your body what it needs and treat it right, it will heal itself. And I don't think that people really think of it in that way. I didn't for the longest time, but it's absolutely true. And people are reversing chronic conditions every day. I also wanted to just say some inspirational stuff. I met a millennial last week, actually maybe a Gen Z, college-age girl. She's listened to the show, so she got in contact with me, and we ended up going out and having lunch. I was so interested. She is interested in trying to figure out a way. She's very interested in natural health type stuff, and she's interested in medicine, but keeping people healthy rather than simply treating the myriad of diseases that we keep getting. And it's just nice to see. I just say that as a rate. Her name is actually Hope, which is just perfect. That there is some hope that maybe people are changing their minds and we may see. I've told her, I said, I think you're at the cusp of something. She's young. She's got a whole career ahead of her. She can get in before everybody else because I think people will transition to a system of treating people with the goal to keep you healthy, to enjoy every day of your life in good health rather than a sickness, a disease management system that we have right now, which is the medical profession that just basically throws its hands up and goes, oh, yeah, you're going to get sick all the time, but we're here when you need us. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we had a system that was actually designed and could prosper. I'd be happy to pay somebody to keep me healthy rather than just treat every disease. I have taken that task upon myself. I haven't had a sick day in 15 years, so I go with that. While we're talking about the medical establishment, I also wanted to bring up a story I saw yesterday. I'm not going to play the clip or anything. It was a little more visual. There were a couple of stories, actually. There was one yesterday I saw on COVID, and I saw it across the spectrum. It was on different networks, same guy. And they led the segment off by saying a powerful plea from a COVID patient. And it was a guy that's he looks very sick, got the oxygen tube going up into his nose, and he looks at the camera and says, I didn't wear a mask. I should have. And he talks about how coronavirus got corona, and I guess the guy didn't wear a mask. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are wearing masks that still get coronavirus. I've played them on this show where they actually get emotionally upset that they feel like they've somehow failed because they wore their mask everywhere and still got sick. Well, that's just because the masks don't work. But the thing that was missing in this story was the guy was morbidly obese. And I feel bad for him. I'm not here to relish in anybody's disease, but it is just one of these things where the focus of the story was that he was one of these mask deniers. He didn't wear a mask, and look at what's happened to his health. He's at death's door in an ICU. And they gloss over the fact that it is because he is morbidly obese. It's probably the main reason. If you have one person with a mask that is morbidly obese and one person with no mask that has paid attention to their health and gotten into shape over the years or maintained a healthy body weight, the person without the mask that is in good physical health is in a lot better chance of survival and withstanding COVID without any real serious hospitalization or problems. But they continue to gloss over that. To the point, to the next story that I get to, local news last night did a story about vaccine hesitancy among blacks. And I believe, I couldn't rewind, I didn't have it on a DVR, but I believe they said that they used the statistics that of something like only 14% of the black community is lining up to get this shot. And so several local black doctors went and got the shot on camera to inspire people, to set the example. And here's the problem, and again, I know this will come across as harsh or inconsiderate. They might have been wonderful people, and they may believe in the vaccine that it will save lives, and they're trying to save lives. The problem was most of the people in these shots, including the medical professionals themselves, were morbidly obese. Now, I'm not judging anybody for that. Look, I've been overweight myself. It happens. And if you do not pay attention in America, you just trend that way. We're a very overweight society. But talk about whistling past the graveyard. Because these doctors who are trying to get more people to take this vaccine know, they know, that obesity is a major contributor to hospitalizations and deaths, which is the concern around COVID. It's not the people who just get the symptoms, you know, don't feel too good for a few days and move on. That's not our concern. We're talking about we don't want to swamp the hospitals and all the rest of the... When did we ever make this arrangement with the medical community that we promise will never get you, make you really busy? They act like it's really our fault that they're having to work so hard. Now, look, sometimes bad things go around and the medical system gets a little bit busier, but that's your job. A lot of times you're just standing around. Anyway, more people would be saved and spared a ton of other health problems, including these overweight doctors that I saw yesterday, or medical professionals. I don't know if they were all MDs. These medical professionals taking these shots, a lot more people would be saved and spared tons of other health problems if they got their weight into a normal and fit range rather than any vaccine. And again, this is just a little tough love. It's not judgment. It's not trying to be mean. But somebody apparently has to say it out loud. And this is for all races. Lose weight. If you are obese, lose weight and reclaim your health instead of sitting around sick and uncomfortable and waiting for some experimental treatment to come save you. And it's really not near as hard as you probably think it is. I'm going to talk a little bit today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I'm going to do this year. It doesn't mean that it's right for everybody, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, why I'm doing it. And then I'll play some clips about the ways that can benefit your health and you can make your own decisions. But the obesity has got to be talked about at some point. I've done it before here on the show. I know I have because I'm getting that same awkward feeling where I'm thinking, oh, that guy is just, what a jerk. No, it's got to be said, particularly in Mississippi. And I got to tell you, I got a little triggered when I watched a bunch of, and I'm not talking about, you know, 5 or 10 extra pounds. I'm talking about 40, 50, 70, 150 extra pounds I saw in these medical professionals yesterday. They're trying to get the black community to take a vaccine, but they will not even reclaim their own health. I got to tell you, if I go see a doctor who is advising me on their health, I don't want them to have ignored their own. I'll be right back.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
I want to be real clear here. I promise you, I'm a really nice guy in real life. I'm a very nice guy. So there's nothing when I talk about weight loss and stuff. It's about health. I'm not here about appearance. I'm not here about character. I mean, your body size has absolutely nothing to do with who you are as a person whatsoever. And I don't do appearance shows. I don't come on here and give you 17 sassy summer haircuts. I mean, that's not what I'm doing. But we have to at least face facts that if you want to avoid major medical problems, having a good body mass index is an important part of that. Cosmopolitan has got a new edition out in the UK where it's got morbidly obese people on the cover, and the title is "This is Healthy!" exclamation point. Now, there are varying degrees. People who are overweight, some of them don't have catastrophic health. They may eat good food. They just don't exercise, whatever. But it is not an aspirational thing. Don't let them. They've already blurred so many lines. I mean, between the sexes, they're trying to blur lines. There's no biological male or female. It's a spectrum, and you decide what you are when you're four. Don't let them blur this. Don't let us, you know, it's the boiling frog thing. It is not that there's anything wrong with anybody who is overweight whatsoever as a human being. Love you like anybody. A lot of jerks are physically fit, so has nothing to do with that. But we cannot start redefining healthy as being really overweight. And I will just tell you from experience, I've been overweight. And you just feel better, you function better, you think better when you're healthy. So I'm going to go into just a little bit of what I'm going to do. Again, I'm just trying to kind of maybe trigger something, give you some ideas. Well, this show is not about me. My passion for this topic is what brings the show out every week. But it is not about me, but I'll just tell you what I'm doing so you can think, maybe that's something for me, or I'll mention some terms or some ways of eating, and maybe you can think, hey, maybe I'll give that a try. First of all, I'm about 38 hours now into just a 48-hour fast. I usually do 5 to 7 day water fast at the beginning of every year. This year, I thought I'd try a 2-day fast. I'm probably going to do it every month for several months, and I'll explain why in just a second. It's not about losing weight. It's about kind of cleaning up and resetting. I don't eat well during the holidays, and that is okay with me. It hadn't caused me any big problems over the years, and I enjoy it, and I'm not somebody who is, as I say all the time, sitting in a corner eating carrots while everybody else is enjoying themselves. Never been like that. Never will be like that. I love life. I love having good food, but I know when to kind of dial it back a little bit when I don't have much going on. And look, I'll tell you, past weekend, I ate all my organic Doritos, my organic Cheetos. I watched some football. You know, I mean, I did those things. I had some beers over the holiday, which are fine. I still drink beer even when I'm eating good. It doesn't cause me any problems. But now is the time, at the beginning of every year, I've just made a commitment over the past few years to just do a little bit of a reset. And so now I'm on day two, about 38 hours. The last thing I had to eat was a small dinner Monday night, and I will probably have some small meal tonight. And then I'll get into keto. And the reason I'm going to do keto is because I want to drop 2020. I tell you right now, I ate some comfort foods. I've never had this before. I don't think I'm pregnant, but I started getting into pretzels with peanut butter. And I couldn't stop. There were so many days I think I was just stuck at the house, nothing going on, and I just gave into those cravings. That's the other thing about trying to get your health back. You don't have to be perfect. So don't sit there and think that, oh, if I change my ways, I'm never going to have any of the things I love ever again. No, that's not true. When you reset your system and start getting healthy, First of all, you won't be drawn to those things near as much, so it's not hard to stay away from them. But number two, when you fall off, it's pretty easy to self-correct. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do keto. I've never seen anything else that I thought was easier to do than a ketogenic diet, which is eating a high-fat, low-carbohydrate dinner, I mean a meal plan, for dropping fat. And the idea behind a ketogenic diet is that your body starts to burn, instead of the sugars that you burn, you actually start burning your own body fat for energy. And I'm probably in ketosis, is what they call now when your body releases ketones for energy. And I'm probably there right now, having not had any, certainly no sugars. No, I've had black coffee this morning and water all day yesterday is about all I've had. So I'm going to do that for probably at least a couple of months. I will probably transition. My idea right now is to a paleo diet. So you can look up the paleo diet. Paleo diet is, and I hate the words diet, keto diet, paleo diet. It's really just a way of eating. It's not like a Weight Watchers type thing. It is just starting to think of, what does the body need? What's the best way that I can eat to function? What does my biology demand from me? Keto is high fat, very low carbs to get your body to burn fat. And a lot of people drop a lot of weight. Look, for any of these things, consult a doctor if you've got really serious health conditions. Do your own research on these things. A lot of people have had success with things like ketogenic diet for things like diabetes, but I don't know. Maybe that's not for everybody, so do your own homework on this stuff. Paleo diet is different than keto. It's more just about whole foods. They look at the hunter-gatherers, what human beings used to be, and they eat those kinds of things, which means they don't eat any processed food on a paleo diet. Now, again, you may have a cheat day someday. Don't act like you got to give up everything for the rest of your life. It's so sad. I just love my name the thing. But it is about focusing your diet and trying to eat whole, real foods. And there's a distinction between the two. I'm going to play a clip about that in just a second. But my goal is I'm going to knock off the few pounds of fat that I got during 2020 with ketosis. And then I'm going to move to paleo. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I like to exercise. I like to lift weights. And I found it kind of hard for me to gain the muscle weight that I wanted to gain when I was lifting on ketogenic diet, because there's the thing about keto is you eat high fat foods. They're very filling. And I'm not really a big eater anyway. And so I don't get probably enough calories, and I probably didn't put enough protein in it. There's people who gain weight and get in very good shape on keto. It wasn't like that for me. So paleo introduces some more carbs, which might make me eat a little bit more so I can gain some muscle weight. Look, I'm messing around with a 53-year-old body just to see what I can do with it. It's like my hobby. Some of you may go fishing. Some of you may golf. I'm kind of noodling around with what I can do for my health, trying different combinations of stuff just to see. I don't have any body dysmorphia stuff. I don't have an eating disorder. This is my hobby, and it's been interesting to do and provided me with an hour of content for the show. One thing I will say, now I'm doing this short fast rather than one of my long fasts. If you switch to ketogenic diet, if you decide to do any of these things, none of these changes should be done like you wake up in one morning and you go, you know what, I'm going to fast for the next 3 days. You ate garbage yesterday, and all of a sudden you wake up and you go, I'm going to try fasting. That is a recipe for disaster. You will feel terrible. You have to ease into these kinds of things, whether it's switching to a ketogenic diet, switching to a paleo diet, trying to do a short fast, even if it's a 24, even a 16-hour fast. You have to kind of ease into these things. Don't eat a bunch of garbage and then try to go cold turkey into a totally healthier way of living, because you will go through what is exactly like drug withdrawals. So do your research on that. If you need help with articles on that, you can even email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. I'll send you articles, but you can do your own internet search. How to ease into ketogenic diet, how to start a ketogenic diet, how to switch to paleo, how to get ready for a fast, any of these things you want to do, just do some preparation. Don't slam yourself into these things, because I guarantee you, you will not feel good. I have done that, and I knew I wouldn't feel good, and I kicked myself for doing it that way, but I'd already done fasting or some of these other things for so long that I knew what was on the other side. So it was just really, I got annoyed with myself, but I didn't give up because, oh my God, this makes me feel bad. I just thought to myself, well, dummy, you shouldn't have just slammed yourself into this or slammed yourself into that. You ate bad right before you started, and now you're going through withdrawals. This is the price you pay, dummy. And I blame myself, and I move on. So anyway, if you do decide to make a change, I would recommend that you ease into it. I'm going to come back in just a second, take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you a clip on the differences between ketogenic and paleo. And these are not all of them. You know, there's Mediterranean. I will probably get into a couple things. I had a friend yesterday. She sent me that she's trying Whole30. I really haven't looked at that, so I'm going to take a look at that as an eating thing. I'm just trying to give you some ideas. If you are looking for a reset, this is the time where I think most people are vulnerable, or I'll put it not vulnerable. That's a bad word. Most people are open to making some pretty serious changes at the beginning of a new year, particularly after the year we just had. We don't want to repeat that one, do we? I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and this is Wednesday, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We're talking about making some changes to diet this year as you're starting. Now, I talked about the fact I'm going to do a two-day fast, a 48-hour fast, probably every month for the next few months, just to see how that works out for me. It's going to be easier than a five-day fast. We'll say I miss eating food during 5 days of nothing but water. And I'll just see if I like it better or worse. And next year I'll adjust accordingly. I'm always trying different things. But one of the reasons is not just weight loss. I'm not overweight. I'm not obese. But I think it's a chance for us to clean up the system. And the thing with fasting is something called autophagy. And this is interesting because I started studying fasting probably, I don't know, just a few years ago. And I learned about autophagy, which is about to be explained to you in a clip. And I thought, oh, okay, but I thought it was just, you know, something they'd always known. I was just learning about fasting. Turns out this is relatively new science and was actually the idea of autophagy, which is cleaning up your, you know, problems with your cells, kind of rejuvenating yourself, recycling things in your body that are not needed, getting rid of them. It won the Nobel Peace Prize or the Nobel Prize for Science or Nutrition or whatever the prize was just a few years ago. So this is relatively new, but it's autophagy. I'm going to play this clip explaining what it is because it's one of the reasons I do fasting. I think it's a good reset to kind of get rid of some things in my system that may have gone wrong, you know, over the course of the last year or certainly the last month.
Prolonged fasting and autophagy, your body's natural way of cleaning house. Prolonged fasting is a hot topic these days because of its amazing benefits. It's a fast way to start weight loss. You can reduce belly fat, reset your metabolic health, and enhance your mental clarity and energy. But cell rejuvenation is the most profound benefit. In fact, the 2016 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine was awarded for discoveries about that process, called autophagy. The process starts when you do a prolonged fast or a fasting-mimicking diet. As your cells stop sensing food, your body literally turns to itself for nourishment. But that's a good thing. As your cells are in fasting mode, they gather their old, worn-out parts like organelles and misfolded proteins and digest them. Then amino acids and other molecules are released, which help your cells recycle, reuse, and clean the old, worn-out parts and rejuvenate themselves. It's your body's natural way of cleaning house and rejuvenating, which supports healthy aging and wellness. Think of it as a pit stop for your body. Just as a pit stop optimizes a race car's performance, prolonged fasting and autophagy can do the same for you.
So there you go. I'm doing a pit stop. I'm doing a cleaning, a little house cleaning. It's interesting to consider that concept. Autophagy, as I understand it, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist. Autophagy takes, if you're going to do fasting, I heard this 48-hour fast, and one of the reasons I'm doing it is they've said that the last, you know, the second day of a 48-hour fast is when really autophagy kind of kicks in, and then it kind of plateaus after 48 hours. So for the next 3 days, I might not be doing much. It might be a little bit longer, but I won't be doing much more. This is kind of where the magic happens. So anyway, there's something to consider. It's not all about just losing weight, things like that, but it is about cleaning up your system a little bit. All right, I've got this. This is two doctors, and their names are, I'll find them. I know I put them down here somewhere. Okay, Dr. Becky Gillespie and Dr. Keith Gillespie. These are both chiropractors. I'm going to be seeking this year to get somebody on here about chiropractic care. I talked earlier today about this young girl, Hope, that I met that is looking for ways to keep people healthy. A lot of chiropractors have got very good training in nutrition and things like that in ways to keep you healthy. A lot of us just associate chiropractors with cracking bones and straightening spines and these kinds of things. But a lot of them have had a lot of training in nutrition and ways to keep the body in tune as you move along. So these are two people, both chiropractors, who were talking about the differences between keto and paleo diets.
So we'll give you the definitions of both diets, the foods that they share and the foods that they have not in common, which wasn't the best way to put that, but go ahead why don't you go ahead and explain what the keto diet is, and I'll take paleo.
Okay, so the keto diet, and a lot of you probably already know this, but if you don't, it stands for a ketogenic diet. It became more widely used therapeutically in the 1920s to treat kids with epilepsy. And it is basically a very low-carb, high-fat diet that will cause your body to produce ketones that can then be used for energy instead of glucose.
I did want to mention something there when he talks about kids. It's interesting to me that in the 1920s, I'm telling you, in a lot of ways, medicine has made great strides, right? If you were in a car accident, if your body is broken, if your bones are broken, if you need a transplant of some kind, boy, the surgeries, the things they can do now are absolutely tremendous. When it comes to treating chronic conditions, I think we've gone backwards. It's more expensive than ever. When they knew that back in the 1920s, they were treating kids with epilepsy with a ketogenic diet, I have seen, and this is, again, do your own research, but children that have had behavioral problems up to and including autism, that change their diets and start going with a high-fat diet, which they'll tell you the science about it helping the brain and other things, but get a lot of the processed food out of kids that have behavioral problems, ADHD, autism. When they switch these kids to one of these high-fat diets, they've had tremendous success, and there have been several documentaries out there that are just, they just make you smile when you see a kid that is just completely out of control. The parents just don't know what to do with them. They are able to shift their diet and get them, and all of a sudden you see this kid who just looks like they're just a happy, well-adjusted, normal kid. So if you have problems with your children, too, I always encourage people to take a look at the nutrition in those cases, too.
Right. And a paleo diet is a way of eating that is patterned after what we assume people, actually hunters and gatherers living in the Paleolithic era millions of years ago, ate on a daily basis. So it is based on whole foods that predate more of a modern type of farming. So why don't we, like, more succinctly go into what the two diets have in common as far as food. Okay. Let's start with that.
Okay.
So on a keto diet or a paleo diet, you're looking at whole unprocessed foods. So meats are allowed. Fish is allowed. Eggs are allowed. Nuts and seeds. Spices. They both will have healthy fats. Oils will be included. That would come from fruits. That would be your avocado oil, olive oil, coconut oil, oils from nuts, walnuts. So those foods are all going to, they're going to be included in both the paleo and both, and also the keto.
Right.
Now, foods that would be omitted from both, actually,
right,
would be your grains, because those would be more processed. Now, a keto dieter would look at that as a high carb type of an issue. A paleo dieter might look at excluding that because of it's a farmed, processed food. Both diets would exclude beans or legumes like your peas, peanuts, lentils would be excluded from both. Also excluded from both would be anything that's milled. So you're, neither of them are you going to go get a bun and eat it. Likewise, you're not going to have any cookies, cakes, or candies on either of them because sugar's out of the.
Now, I want to clarify that. I think a little bit. There are tons of recipes. I'm going to tell you about them in just a second. There are all kinds of sweet things that you can eat, but you use things like stevia or erythritol or xylitol as a sweetener as opposed to just processed sugar or anything that will spike your insulin levels. So there are a ton of sweet things. I'm about to actually go through some recipes with you just to tell you, or the titles of some recipes to let you know the kinds of things you can eat when you're on paleo or keto.
Equation.
And it does include corn because corn is considered a grain.
Okay.
Corn can be milled and it's considered a grain. So that is also not okay on the paleo.
Now let's talk about the distinct differences between what you would eat on a paleo diet and what you would eat on a keto diet. And there's two standouts.
Mm-hmm.
So a paleo diet is really looking just at getting whole foods. So they will allow a lot more fruit in their diet than a keto diet would. On the opposite vein, paleo will omit dairy foods because they feel that doesn't fit the ideal that they're going for, whereas a keto diet can utilize dairy. In fact, high-fat dairy is very beneficial and satisfying. So a paleolithic diet is not necessarily a low-carb diet, and it's not necessarily a high-fat diet, but you can make it that way.
It could be, sure.
Right, whereas a ketogenic diet, you are going for a specific high-fat, low-carb macronutrient breakdown in your diet designed to lose weight,
right.
Whereas paleo is a good overall kind of way to look at healthy eating.
One is a philosophy, one is a kind of a manipulating your macronutrients. Paleo doesn't really, I think as long as you eat within that list of things that you're okay to eat that Paleolithic man ate, mm-hmm. you don't really have to worry about your macronutrients. There's no real set in stone thing that you need to be. And our take on the paleo diet is that if you do not have to be low carb or ketogenic, or on one of those diets, that Paleolithic is probably, or paleo, I keep saying Paleolithic, the paleo diet is probably, the next best thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty healthy philosophy of eating.
Right, which is why in our coaching program, now we're focused on weight loss, we have different step downs of carbohydrates.
Right.
So the higher carbohydrate diets that we have are still designed for weight loss, but they would be more paleo.
Right.
Because you will be allowed to include a few fruits and some beans,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
All right, so they go through the difference. That's probably tough to take in just over the radio. You can always look up, do an internet search, differences between keto and paleo. If you do a ketogenic diet, you want to try that. If you want to lose some fat, it is a great way to do it. Again, consult whoever, do your own research, medical professional. I don't know what your condition is. I know it's successful for a lot of different people. I don't know if there's anybody who should not be trying it. But if you try it, definitely you can get urine test strips, as sexy as that is to talk about on the radio. They're very inspiring because you'll see that you're in ketosis. You will actually pee on a stick that will test your urine, and it will show that you're producing ketones, which means you're burning fat. And every day that you do that and you see that, it's kind of one of those things where you go, my body's doing it. I'm burning all this stored fat I've had for forever. I find it to be reinforcing. And you'll kind of get to the point where, you'll look at something and you go, well, I may cheat today. And you'll think, no, because it'll take you a few days to get back into ketosis. If you cheat, it'll take you 2 or 3 days to, if you eat a bunch of sugar or processed foods, it'll fill your body with glucose. It'll take you a few days to burn through that glucose before you get back to burning fat. And you'll, those days, your strip won't show that you're burning ketones. And you'll think, I could cheat right now. But boy, I don't want to, because tomorrow morning I want to wake up. I want to pee on a strip. I want to find out I'm still burning body fat. So get the strips. They have them at grocery stores. And the other thing that I would recommend, if you do anything to change your eating and you're trying to lose weight, one thing I think is great is one of these scales that will show you. It's got like I have one that's got the hand things. So you put your hands on it, sends an electrical pulse through your body. You don't feel it, but it reads your body fat percentage, your BMI. I'm sure it's not. I mean, this thing was under $100. I'm sure it's not dead accurate, but it shows your direction. Visually, you can see if you're losing fat, right? But it is kind of nice to see when your body fat numbers are coming down, down, down. I think it gives you some motivation and some momentum to continue to go. So I really recommend one of those scales to kind of, you know, to let you know you're on the right track. It will also tell you if you're headed in the wrong direction. More than just a scale and just a mirror would do for you. When I come back, a couple other things about autophagy with our buddy Dr. Eric Berg. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. All right, final few minutes. I'm going to try to get into this clip real quick. Hopefully we'll get to play as much as we can. I talked about, you know, I'm fasting right now. I do it partially to trigger autophagy, which we talked about. It's a way of kind of cleaning up your system, getting rid of some of the stuff that's not serving you inside your body. Let it eat it up and get rid of it. There's other ways other than fasting to get into autophagy, and so I'll got a clip here for Dr. Eric Berg. Any of this stuff you want to get from me, you can always email me and get my show notes for today. It'll have links to all the source stuff that I discuss. I do this every week. You just email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you my show notes for the day. Here is 12 ways to trigger autophagy, or the cleaning out of your system, and they don't all involve fasting.
Let's talk about the 12 different ways you can trigger the condition called autophagy. So the word autophagy means self-eat, because your cells are basically eating up and recycling damaged proteins and malfunctioning organelles or pieces of the cell that are no longer working. Now, a lot of benefits can occur from autophagy. One is anti-aging. Number two is dropping inflammation. Number three is improving your immune system, because part of the recycling process involves cleaning up pathogens, microbes, candida, parasites, and even viruses. But I believe that the biggest benefit of autophagy is decreasing the risk of cancer. Because if you think about it, cancer can't actually exist unless there's first damage to the mitochondria. So if you're going through autophagy and you're cleaning up all the damage in your mitochondria, you basically bring your risk for cancer way down. So there are several things that can trigger autophagy that go beyond just fasting. Number one, regular exercise. And the key word is regular, not like a one-time thing. You do periodic exercise. It's regular, consistent exercise. Not only will it trigger autophagy, but it'll increase the capacity of autophagy. So you're just going to clean up more damage in the body. So the research on exercise includes both resistant training and aerobic type exercise. Aerobic exercise really improves autophagy of the brain. And I'm going to put all the references down below so you can check them out. Number two, intermittent fasting. This is the one that most people know about, and you'd have to fast for at least 18 hours to really see the benefits of autophagy. And if you go up to 48 hours, you're going to see more and more benefits. You're basically recycling all the little damaged proteins or cellular machinery inside the cells that basically are not helping you. They're hurting you. All right, number three, ketones. So ketones can trigger autophagy. They also protect the neurons. They feed the neurons. They can actually stimulate autophagy in the brain, clean out some of this amyloid plaquing that's involved in dementia. All right, number four, sleep. This is when you recover. Autophagy occurs when you're in recovery mode. This is why stress blocks autophagy, but sleep can enhance autophagy. Then we get hyperbaric oxygen therapy has the capacity of stimulating autophagy. Cold and hot therapy, because it triggers certain genes that stimulate that mechanism. Okay, number seven, coffee. I'm not talking about drinking pots of coffee because you're going to get too much caffeine, but it's the polyphenols that can stimulate some autophagy. And then wine, which, by the way, I'm not recommending, but it does tend to stimulate autophagy, but it has other effects that could be damaging to the liver. All right, number nine, cruciferous vegetables. Specifically, the phytochemical called sulforaphane can trigger autophagy. Green tea stimulates a certain phytonutrient that can also increase autophagy. Extra virgin olive oil has a phytochemical that has the ability to stimulate autophagy in human studies. Some of these other ones are in animal studies. Number 12, mushrooms. Shiitake and oyster mushrooms stimulate this chemical, which has a capacity to increase autophagy. So if you combine all of these, let's say, for example, you drink.
All right, so I'm running out of time there, but that's 12 ways, so it doesn't have to be just fasting. When you stop and think about it, you know, you realize hunter-gatherers are our ancient ancestors. It is very rare, very new, that we are able to go to a grocery store, go to our refrigerators, always have food on hand. So throughout all human existence, there have been times where we've not had a whole lot to eat, and that might have been what was helped keep us alive and keep us fit and trim and agile and ready to go out and hunt wild boar, whatever it was. So it's pretty new that we've had constant stream of food. So there's certainly something scientific to the idea of going without food for a certain period of time. Cleaning up the system. New year, new you. That's all the time I got. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.